In a typical year, just a handful of school budgets fail to pass on town meeting day. But this year was not like that. On Tuesday, voters in nearly one-third of school districts rejected their spending plans at the ballot box. For this week's edition of the Capitol Recap, Vermont Public's education reporter Lola Dufour is here to tell me how we got here and how this will impact the conversation in Montpelier. Hi, Lola.
Hey, Mitch.
So set the table for us here. How unusual is it to see this many school budgets fail?
It's very outside the norm. It might be historic. In the worst year for school budgets in the last decade, for example, 14% of budgets failed. That was the worst year. On Tuesday, we saw twice that many go down.
Wow. Well, the legislature returns to Montpelier next week following their town meeting break. How do you think this will play out at the State House?
Well, the reason that so many budgets failed is mainly because property taxes were projected to skyrocket by nearly 20%. And that's because, collectively, the budgets that were put before voters represented a roughly $230 million increase in education spending. So even before all these budgets went down, lawmakers were already starting to say, this is a crisis, something has got to give. And Tuesday's results really confirmed for them that they do indeed have a mandate for change. Here's Peter Conlin, the chair of the House Education Committee.
So this moment has been described as a crossroads or a tipping point, but it is certainly a key motivator to look at everything. And I would say, more importantly, for us to talk about things that we've been reluctant to talk about in the past.
Well, Lola, what did he mean by things we've been reluctant to talk about?
Mainly small schools. Vermont's system is inherently expensive, in part because we have a lot of schools that serve very, very few kids. But again and again, when a school closure is on the ballot, Vermonters emphatically reject it at the polls. Just this week, for example, residents in Stannard, Woodbury, Hardwick, and Greensboro all voted against closing Lakeview Elementary School, which has just 27 kids. So Vermonters don't think they can afford their taxes. They also really want to keep small community schools open. And those two impulses are absolutely in tension. At his press conference on Thursday, Governor Phil Scott actually quoted a former politician who summed up this paradox.
I think it was Shap Smith who said when he was speaker, he said, everyone wants us to save money. Everyone wants us to close some of these schools, but no one wants it to be their own. And I think that says it all.
So what are lawmakers going to do? I mean, they're going to pass a law this year that says any school with fewer than, say, 100 students, you must close down?
Definitely not. For one, the kinds of reforms lawmakers are beginning to discuss are going to take years to flesh out. So nothing big is getting passed this year. And consolidation also alone will not solve Vermont's education finance woes. Lawmakers like Conlin say that they also need to wrestle with all of the things we're increasingly asking schools to do, particularly when it comes to social services and mental health. They need to figure out if schools really should be delivering those services. And if yes, whether property taxes are the most appropriate revenue source.
And do Democrats really want to mandate consolidation?
No. I'm seeing a lot of momentum build behind the idea that since Vermont schools are old and in terrible shape, the state could use school construction aid as a really powerful incentive to convince communities to create regional schools. But of course, school construction aid would also, you know, require money. I talked to Emily Kornheiser, who's the chair of the Tax Writing Committee in the House, about this.
I think one of the very hardest parts of our jobs is that in order to save resources in the long term, we often have to spend more resources in the short term. And so I know that actually funding school construction will save us money in the long term, but I do think it'll be hard for us to find our way through those first few years of it.
Well, Lola, in the short term, school officials have repeatedly asked lawmakers to find additional money for the education fund to offset the need for higher property taxes this year. But is that going to happen?
Yes. But people should still brace themselves for much higher property taxes this year. Lawmakers will try and soften the blow, but they made very clear that they don't have $200 million lying around, which is what they would need to fully buy down this increase. And they're also worried that doing so would actually be counterproductive. In fact, that's partly what got us into this mess in the first place. School spending increased a lot last year, too, but nobody noticed because federal COVID-era spending provided Vermont with these totally insane surpluses for about 3 years. And with that surplus, which is one-time money, lawmakers bought down property taxes. Now that federal money is gone, those surpluses are gone, but we're left with this much higher baseline in ongoing spending. And so there's a concern that the impulse to find more one-time money to make this increase go away will actually make the situation even worse next year.
That was Vermont Public's education reporter Lola Dufour. And for more on this and other news coming out of Montpelier, visit our website, vermontpublic.org. Lola, thank you so much for explaining all this to us.
Of course. Thanks so much.